So there was a point in time where like I was not having sex. I swore off dating. I'm like, this sucks. Coming to the end of that, I'm like, I, you know what? Fuck it. I deserve this. I deserve to come. That's what I want to do. So we were going, a bunch of us friends, we were going to a friend's birthday. She rented a cabin up in Flagstaff. And this has to do with what we're talking about of being someone's side chick or, you know, to a situation like that. I literally went up to Flagstaff knowing like I am fucking someone. Like I'm like, I told my friends, I was like, I'm getting on Tinder. I'm literally like gonna see, you know, who I can find, pick someone up from the bar. I don't care. Like I'm having sex this weekend. So like to my girlfriend, I was like, I know it's your birthday weekend. I'm here for you, but I want to get dick down. So just so we're clear.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's podcast, we are talking about hoe life, the lessons that you can learn, and how to prepare if this is something that you are interested in exploring, if you want to embrace a little hoeness, and what to do and how to make it work for you. All right, Tatum, I'm so excited to chat with you more about like hoe life and like the hoe phase and all of these things that are kind of hush-hush and taboo a lot of times for women. And we're starting to embrace more of this and how it can really benefit us in our sexuality. I am curious to kind of just start and identify, like, what would you define as the hoe phase?
Okay, so I think it could be different for everyone because you have to like go based off of like what's most comfortable for you. You still don't want to like go and ball out and just like set the standard for like being a hoe. I mean, I think it can be like this wide variety of definitions, but I think for me is really just diving into like doing who you want and what you want when you want. I think it can happen at like different times for people also. So I think, you know, I don't think there's really like a good say on like when you should be a hoe. However, I do believe in your 20s is the best because we do a lot of learning lessons in our 20s anyways.
I agree. I think that like in my 20s, I've had multiple hoe phases in my life.
Yeah.
Where do you like consider yourself right now? Do you consider yourself like in a hoe phase or like a retired hoe currently?
Yeah. So I'm a retired hoe. But I was just talking to my boyfriend. I have a long-term boyfriend right now. We've been in a relationship for a while. And he was like, yeah, you better tell them you're my hoe now. You're off the streets. I'm like, okay.
I love that. I love that. I feel like I'm a retired hoe as well in that like I'm in a situationship, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. We'll figure that out at a later date. But I have really for like the last year not been doing hoe activities. And for me, what I define as hoe activities is, that's a really good question, actually. Like multiple intimate sexual, let's just be honest. There's maybe not a lot of intimacy, but just straight sexual encounters that are outside of the context of a relationship over a period of time. Like could be like 6 in a year, could be like 6 in a month. It just kind of depends on what's happening in my life at the time.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think like having, you know, an open mind and doing like what you want in this phase, especially like for a scenario, like someone who has maybe like been in a relationship their whole lives, like, or got married to their high school sweetheart, like you should have that time where it's like, you know what, like, I'm just going to do what I want and whatever that means. You know, it's like, for me, like I always say, let that hoe flag fly, girl. Like you go out there and you get that dick, like you text 7 guys, you have a roster, you know what I mean? Like, and do it in a way that it's almost empowering. It's like how women like turned around the word bitch. And now we call each other bitches. It's like, yes, like go be that hoe, have fun while you're doing it, you know, and don't let anyone like make you feel bad about the decisions you're making in this period.
I love that you brought up a roster because it reminds me of my roster and how upset my roster was when I sent out the text like, hey, so texting somebody, FYI, or, you know, you get the messages that are...
Don't text me.
Yeah. You get the messages that are like, you've been kind of avoiding me. Yeah, I have. So what are some of the lessons that you've learned from having a hoe phase?
A lot of shitty ones. I think, like, for me, I was never a relationship girl, and not because I didn't want to be, but that's just the way my life worked out. I was never the girl that was in, like, long-term serious relationships. So I would kind of go in this, like, ebb and flow. Like, you are saying that you're kind of like, you have paused your hoe phase, but you may not necessarily be done with it. So that's kind of like how I was. And I think in that you know, you learn a lot of things, I think, like, about yourself and, like, what you want, like, in a guy and in a relationship. You know, it's like, I think part of the hoe phase and, like, sleeping with people, let's just use that as, like, the blanket for this right now, is, like, you know, even if you want to be in a relationship, it doesn't always work if you just give it up right away. You know what I mean? So I think that's, like, especially with this whole, like, very, like, fast hookup culture, I think that's strictly what it is. And I think people put so much expectations on, like, the relationships that you do have with people, when reality, like, we all have different definitions for those relationships. I'm not sure if I answered the question, but I feel like I kind of went off a little bit, but I think it's all in the bigger part of, like, learning lessons. So I guess, like, one of the lessons that I've learned is that when two people are dating, like, dating to me and dating to you could be two different things, you know? So, like, when I was in my hoe phase, dating for me was, I'm seeing multiple people. I'm not fucking multiple people, but I'm seeing multiple people, and I maybe have my friends with benefits on the side. So I'm dating these people to see, like, what do I like? What don't I like? You know, what our compatibility is, if we have chemistry. And then I'm still getting my needs met by the fuckboy that comes over when I'm drunk at 12 o'clock at night. You know what I mean?
Yes. So I feel like for me, some of the lessons that I've learned from the hoe phase is what I like in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's been like an opportunity to explore different things sexually. But it also has been an opportunity to explore, like, what I want in a partner, like you had mentioned, like, certain characteristics and behaviors, like, do you really want that in a long-term partner? And I feel like a lot of people get stuck on this, but how do you not fall in love with your hookup? Especially as women, I think it is so easy when you're sharing that connection. Like,
yeah.
Do you have any advice for not falling in love with them?
Oh, I mean, that's so hard. For me personally, for so long, it was like, if I have sex, like, I want to be with this person. I start romanticizing them. I, like, see what, like, have all these, like, envisions of, like, what our dating life could be like. Like, you know, he says he wants kids. Like, oh, we could have children. And it's like, okay, whoa. I think you really genuinely, to be, like, in a hoe phase where you're, like, having sex with people and you don't want to catch feelings, I think you really have to be honest with yourself and, like, understand, like, that part of you. Like, are you able to separate the two things? Because a lot of people can't, and maybe you can, you know, you could in the past, but right now you're, like, you know, going through a relationship breakup, you're feeling alone and you want, you know, someone's attention in that way. So I think it's a complicated question to answer, but I think my best advice is really try to just, like, you got to look at the situation as if it's like, you're, like, looking at yourself from an outer perspective. It's like, okay, if I want to go into this because I want to fuck, then it's like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create some boundaries. I think this is great. And I wish I would have done this for myself. But, you know, because I think as women, we have all these chemicals that release when we do have sex with men. And it's been proven that that's why we get so much or so attached to guys. I think boundaries where it's like, okay, we're going to have sex, but I'm going to go to his house so I can leave after. There's no cuddling. You fuck and you leave. That's what I always say. It's all coming back to me now.
It's so funny because I was literally telling somebody this the other day. I'm like, I haven't had any men over at my house. Like, I go over so that I can get the fuck out. Like, that's what I've done in the past. Like, they don't know where I live. It's great.
Yeah.
One thing that I think has helped me through my hoe phase is really good communication and understanding, in that if the other person is communicating very clearly that, hey, this is also strictly hooking up, like we are just fucking and that's it, like yeah. there's nothing else, it made it a lot easier for me to not become attached when I know exactly what I'm getting into as well.
Yeah. I talk so much. Wow. I really was like, that was a very long answer, but I have an episode and I can't remember what it is, what the title is, but I literally was talking about something similar to this, because I always used to say when I was in my hoe phase, I'd be like, you fuck and you leave, no cuddles, because cuddles lead to feels. That's it. You fuck and you leave. And I think like detaching yourself in that way where it's like, this is just sex. Like I'm not going to stay the night. I'm not going to cuddle. Like we strictly just meet up. We have sex. I'm going to get up, put my panties back on and walk out the door. I think also for men, I don't think a lot of women do that. So in the reverse, I think if you go to their place and you're like, okay, we're finished, I'm getting ready to go, and you're packing up to leave, they kind of be like, wait, what? Like, what? Where are you going? You're like, oh, well, like I have plans after this. Like, I gotta go. Sorry. And then it kind of keeps you feeling like mysterious and not like all up on their ass, which essentially, you know, it's the chase, right? So then they want to be involved a little more usually.
Yeah, I love that. So have you ever been a side chick? Knowingly.
Yes. I don't know why that took me so long to answer. Yeah, I have. And that was really frustrating for me. Unknowingly, I was a side chick. Knowingly, I would never just personally put myself in a position like that. I know how I would feel if I was put like on the receiving end of that. So it's not something that I would want. But yes, I have had two separate married men. One tried to date me, one actually hooked up with me, and then it all came crashing down very quickly.
It's crazy how people try to do this without thinking that nobody's going to find out. Like, how do you, like, I don't understand the rationale of people thinking that the other person isn't going to find out, or, you know, I've done it knowingly. And I have a lot of opinions about that, and I don't recommend it. However, it served its purpose for me. And also one of those things, it was in my hoe phase where I knew exactly what I was doing, and that, hey, I don't want to marry this man. I don't want a relationship with this man. His needs are being met here, but he can go get everything else from his wife. And it's great. That's it. And
yeah. Well, and there's some like fun, and I can see like the, you know, it's like, there's like fun in that where it's like, oh, we're going to get caught. Like, this is bad. This is wrong. It like builds up the anticipation of like that whole scenario. So I do understand like, you know, how you could get yourself into that and, you know, make that a part of like one of your choices. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't recommend it. It's a 10 out of 10. Don't recommend. And I really wouldn't choose to do that anymore consistently.
Right.
This is just going downhill really fast.
When you call yourself out on a live podcast recording.
Right? Like, I really don't want to, because you're right. Like, on the flip side of that, I don't want to be the receiving person.
Yeah.
And so I do consider that.
But it's two people. It's not, it can't just be falling on you either. And so I think that's the other side of it too, where it's like, you're not all to blame. Like, at least you're the one that's being honest. But, you know, it's on, a part of it is on him and his relationship or, you know, marriage to do something about it at some point also, you know? So, you know, I get both sides and I'm not judging at all.
Yeah. But 10 out of 10, don't recommend. And if for the listeners who are listening, like, wouldn't encourage that behavior. I mean, if you don't know, you don't know. There's nothing you can do about it. And I actually just found out somebody that was part of my hoe phase, who I fucked with for a long time, had a girlfriend the entire time and just went public with their girlfriend. And I'm like, I didn't even know. Also, like, didn't really matter to me because we weren't trying to pursue anything and I knew what it was. But if I would have known, I wouldn't have knowingly done that out of concept.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like regardless, it always comes out one way or another like this. So this is like probably one of my favorite stories to tell, which was a part of my hoe phase. So there was a point in time where like I was not having sex. I swore off dating. I'm like, this sucks. Coming to the end of that, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I deserve this. I deserve to come. that's what I want to do. So we were going, a bunch of us friends, we were going to a friend's birthday. She rented a cabin up in Flagstaff. And this has to do with what we're talking about of being someone's side chick or, you know, to a situation like that. I literally went up to Flagstaff knowing like I am fucking someone. Like I'm like, I told my friends, I was like, I'm getting on Tinder. I'm literally like gonna see, you know, who I can find, pick someone up from the bar. I don't care. Like I'm having sex this weekend. So like to my girlfriend, I was like, I know it's your birthday weekend. I'm here for you, but I want to get dick down. So just so we're clear, I'm trying to make a long story short. We end up getting to a bar. There's this man there, just totally my type, huge, big, muscular guy, nice, pretty smile. And we're talking, he's buying me and my friends drinks, whatever. And I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm taking him home. Like I'm taking him home. This is the one. And we end up going, he was here for like a guy's trip or something too. So he was with some friends. I end up basically being like, okay, so like, do you want to go to your room? Like, I'm ready. I'm done. Like, I'm just trying to get dick down. This is going to happen. They were staying somewhere like along the Flagstaff like area where it was super close to the bar. We walk back to the room. When I tell you that this was like a scene from a fucking movie, like, it was like, you know, that like hot, passionate makeout where they like, you're making out, they throw you up against the wall. It's like all intense, like clothes are flying. Like that's literally what happened. And he like picked me up on the counter, started going down on me. And then all of a sudden the door opens and then it closes. And we're both like, what the fuck? Like my legs are like up in the air. And it was his friend, one of the guys that was staying. So obviously we're like we get dressed. His friend comes in like fucking pissed. And I like, it made everything very weird. And so we were just kind of sitting there and I was like, yeah, like getting the feeling that I should go, you know, like the vibes are off. Like, I think I should just leave. I'm not sure why your friend's so mad. I know it's not ideal to walk into someone fucking, but like, well, we weren't actually fucking. Sorry. We were just like, it was like a foreplay moment, but it seemed a little weird. Didn't think anything of it. Enjoyed the rest of my night, woke up the next morning to a text message from him. And I kid you not, I was like all excited. I'm like, oh, and he lives in Scottsdale. Like I live down in Phoenix. Like maybe this can continue, you know, we'll get like a redo. I woke up to this message in the morning and he was literally like, hey, so I kind of fucked up last night. I'm actually married and all of our text messages went to my stepson's iPad. So if my ex or if my wife reaches out to you, could you just like go along with like saying that you lost your friends and I was trying to help you find them because that's kind of what it looks like. I was like, just like, I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
Like wasn't wearing a ring. None of his friends said anything. Like, obviously, that's why the friend was so mad.
But why would the friends, like, that just always blows my mind how, like, the guys are all usually supportive and they're not going to be like, oh, he's married or, like, nobody stops them. And it takes two people to tango. Oh, my goodness. Okay, keep going.
Okay, you're like, it's so juicy. Okay. So he said, basically asked me to play along. I had just responded and I was like, you know, I don't want to be involved in any of your personal life drama. Then he responds, thank you, which was annoying to me because I'm like, I never said I had your back. Like if, you know, if your wife reaches out to me, I'm going to let her know what happened because I'm just as annoyed. I wouldn't have made the choices I made if I would have known, you know? So sure as shit, she, you know, probably looked up my phone number, found my name, found my Instagram. Like all of this happened within like 16 hours. She DMs me. Okay. They have a huge following. They like, they're both into fitness. They have like naked photos with like pizza, like covering them. And they're like holding each other. Like, this is like a thing, you know, it was a whole thing. She ends up asking me, I'm going to wrap it up really quick, but she ends up asking me like what happened and what I screenshotted the message of him asking me to lie for him and sent it to her. I was like, I am so sorry. I do not want to be involved. Here you go. I did not know he was married. And that was like just what, that was really the most like crazy, like side chick experience I had ever had, which I don't know if it falls into the category of side chick actually, but I was just like, wow, I cannot believe I was just a tool in this, you know, in this game that was being played.
Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. And that she reached out. I mean,
yeah.
I'm recording a podcast on Thursday for Side Piece Season podcast, and we're talking all about like being a side chick. And I'm totally the kind of person where I'd be like, who? I've never met them before.
Yeah.
I'm the total opposite. Like, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But if I didn't know, I probably would be an asshole and absolutely be like, yeah, I didn't know. But if I knew, I'm covering for both of us for sure.
Right. Well, that makes sense. And I think that's like a different category also. You know what I mean? It's like you obviously, you're trying to like make that work and you don't want to like hurt the other person because you have the honesty between them. But for me, I was just like, what? Like, I can't believe this even happened. But that's like the story of my life.
That's wild. Yeah. I've actually never been confronted. I've never had any like run-ins like that. This is actually a crazy story from college that I have to tell you about. So I was dating this guy. Presumably we were dating. I don't know. You know how like the lines are so blurry. And this is what I hate about dating, is that dating means something different between every person.
Yeah.
Relationships or like a situationship or like friends with benefits all mean something different. So I thought that I was seeing this guy in college. He was a football player. I thought I was the only one. It was great. Like, life was great. And then a buddy of mine was like, hey, I saw some other girl leaving his room. Now, mind you, we lived in the same dorm. Like, this was freshman year. So like, this is a long, long time ago. Oh, he's going to kill me for putting this on the podcast. But anyway, because like, we're still cool. We're still cool to this day. But I confronted him about it. And I'm like, so I heard there's other people involved. And he kind of like denied it, whatever. And every time I would ask him, like, so what are we doing? He would just avoid the question. And like, you should know, like, knowing what I know now, if people cannot be upfront about disclosing or like labeling the situation, then that's kind of a red flag.
Yeah.
So whatever, we ended up fucking around for like 10 years until he met the woman of his dreams and had kids with them. But this girl, I ended up becoming friends with. So like her and I, this actually has happened multiple times in my life. Wow, I didn't realize that. But we became friends and kind of started playing, I guess, mind games with him.
Yeah.
But then this is where it probably got really bad and really messy, in that I would find out when she's seeing him and then make sure that he's no longer available at that time slot. And that time slot was now filled with me.
Wow. So you used it to like your benefit in a full circle.
Yeah.
So then at that, like, did you ever, because obviously we grow and this has like probably been a huge learning experience for you, but like, did you ever have the thought that like you guys could fuck him together?
So at that point in my life, no.
Okay.
No. Now, you know, if you fast forward 10 years after that, I probably would have been like, let's totally do that. But no, in my 20s, that never crossed my mind. My early 20s.
How funny would that have been if you were like, okay, you make plans with him, but then I'll be there and we'll just ambush him and then we'll have a threesome. Like,
right? Like that would have been, that's like most, I don't want to say like every man's dream, because it's not every man's dream, but a lot of men like would not complain with that at all.
Right. But they would be completely mind fucked too, because if he didn't know that you guys knew and then both of you were there, they'd be like, what the fuck? That would be hilarious.
Yes. Oh, that would have been so much fun, man.
It's what you know. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel the same way. And I've like recently learned, I like that a lot that you're talking about, you know, just like communication and people being upfront about these things, because even in this whole hookup culture, I mean, it would save so many people so much time if you were just being honest.
It would.
You know, it's like, I think guys, yeah, like guys especially, I think they think that they may not get what they want, but that's not necessarily true.
I would love to talk about that more, because that's absolutely what I've noticed, is that
yeah.
Men a lot of times feel like, oh, well, if I tell them the truth, they're not going to want to fuck me. But the reality is, like, at least for me, and maybe you can speak to this more, but like for me, like, just be fucking honest. If you're just trying to fuck, let me know so that we can just fuck and I can go on my merry way and go have an actual relationship with somebody and not waste my time thinking that this potentially is a relationship when you're just trying to fuck me. Are you craving more in the bedroom? Are you desiring deep connection to yourself and your partner? Are you wanting something just a little bit more fun? If so, the ultimate guide for foreplay is for you. This is an absolutely free guide with 10 of my favorite tips and tricks to spice it up in the bedroom, to help just try something new, try something different, try something fun, try something playful, and bring more spice and sexiness into the bedroom. Go to foreplay.jordandanelle.com to get your ultimate guide to foreplay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely felt that way a lot when I was single about certain situations. And I think for the reasons that I had just explained too, I think the truth is like, as a man, it's like, sure, you might take some L's, but also like you could get what you want. So it's like, you know, I think just being honest, and for women too, it's like, just to be honest, like with some guys, because we know like there's some guys that are like clingy or that want more time with you or see a relationship with you. And you're just like, I mean, he's really nice, but you know, so it's just, I think just being upfront and honest about what you want could save so much headache and drama.
Absolutely. Interesting fact about me. So in my hoe phase, I would have fun, right? Like I lived my best life. I've had a great life. I've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of experiences. And one of my partners once told me, they're like, you are not cut out for this, basically. Like they're like, you want a relationship. And it's so true, because I tend to go into like a hoe phase. Sometimes it works. Like if that transparency is up front, I usually do fine. But if it isn't clearly just a hookup, it usually gets really messy for me. And I do want a relationship. And it is so helpful for me, for the other person, to be super direct with what they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because either way, it's like, if you're not being honest or like upfront about your intentions, then you're either going to prolong something that doesn't need to be prolonged, or you're going to get yourself into a situation like you just explained, where it's like one person maybe falls for the idea of that person. And it's like, wait a second, like, this isn't what I want or what I thought we had discussed, you know?
Yeah. The idea of somebody, the romanticization. How do you like, maybe you have an answer to this, maybe not, but like, how do you not romanticize?
Well, I'm a Libra, so I romanticize everyone.
I do too. And I'm like, I don't even know how to like not do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think like, I mean, I've been in a committed relationship for the last 3 years, and I still do it like with like things that we're going through. Like it's been 3 years. And I think my biggest thing is like, now things are getting more serious. So then it's like, okay, like in the past, I've like thought about like, oh, this blended family and us living together and, you know, all of these things. And then I just spiral. I think it honestly, like the lines between romanticizing and anxiety are so thin, because I think like, if I really break it down for me, I think it's more of like an anxious thing. Like it's the continuous like thinking, overthinking the situation.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's a couple of questions that I want to talk to you more about. If somebody has not had a hoe phase and they're like thinking that they may want to explore being a hoe and experiencing a hoe phase, mm-hmm. how do they start that? How do they go about that adventure?
Okay, so first I think you create boundaries for yourself, kind of like we talked about earlier. I'm like so big on like pen to paper, or like even like writing notes on my phone. I think in it, because I do have so much anxiety, like once I get it out of my head, it's easier for me to see. So I think some boundaries for yourself, like what about this chapter of your life, like do you want? I think is like the first question you have to answer. You know, like do you just want random sex? Like do you want, you know, consistent dick, but you don't want to be in a relationship, you know? So I think it's like, are we just fucking to fuck? Are we finding a friends with benefits? Are we just kind of seeing what happens? Like, do you want to dive into, you know, other aspects? I mean, the list could go on. Like, do you want to be a unicorn? Do you want to be in a throuple? It's like, so I think it's like figuring out like the why do I want to venture into having, you know, this next phase of just being carefree. And then it would be creating some boundaries. Like if you know for yourself that you're easily to fall for someone, then maybe, you know, no sleepovers, no cuddles. And then I think after that, you just get on some of these dating apps, start talking to your friends, and you go for it. I think having a minimum of 3 people is like a great thing to start with, because you don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket. Yeah.
Yes. I love the idea of like a roster at least 3 deep.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can all serve different purposes. I mean, it could be someone you're like potentially interested in. It could be someone that, you know, the sex is ends up being really good. And it can be someone else that like likes to do really fun things or whatever, you know. But I think like a minimum of 3 so that you're not always available is like really good, because then if you're not always available, you're not going to get attached, because you have like, you know, a little bit going on everywhere rather than like all of your time into one person.
Yes. I love that advice. So the word hoe has so much stigma behind it. And I would love to talk more about like, how do we, I don't want to say get rid of the stigma because that's always going to be there, but like, how do we embrace being a hoe and kind of forget about that stigma that's there?
I think it comes down to like being accepting of yourself. Like you're doing this because you want to do it, not because like people are telling you that this is what you should be doing. I think when we start doing things for other people, that's when it's like, you know, you're not able to just fully send and embrace what it means. I mean, you can be a hoe and like still have a good job. You could be a hoe and still be in a relationship. You know what I mean? Because I think the title of itself kind of moves around just depending on the different phases of your life. So I think like the number one piece of advice that I could give would be like, you have to be okay with what you're doing. If you're not okay with it, then, you know, it's, you're gonna, if people call you a hoe, it's gonna make you mad, you know?
Yeah. I love, like, to me, embracing being a hoe and just like enjoying having sex. I think that there's just mentality that men can be hoes, but when a woman does it, all of a sudden there's this negative connotation behind it.
Yeah. It's the same conversation where it's like, oh, like this girl's a hoe because she slept with 10 dudes 10 different times, but the girl in the relationship has sex with her boyfriend every single night and they've been together for 3 years. It's like everybody's still having sex. So what does it make a difference if one person's having it with the person they're with or they're having it with other people? It sounds like you need to get dicked down, okay? or come, you know?
Yeah.
But I do. I think it's annoying and it's a double standard. Unfortunately, we live in this like life of double standards, especially with men. So I do agree that it's really annoying, but I think like, you know, the other thing too is like, obviously we have podcasts, we unravel our lives on here, but like, you don't have to tell anyone, you know?
It can be a total secret.
Yeah. Like tell your best friends and I'm sure they will support you. And if they're not, then get new friends. I don't know. No.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree to that. Or the other like flip side to that is it's kind of hot when nobody else can know.
Yeah. It is. It adds
up. Not that I know anything about that.
Yeah, right. I think you know a little too much, girl. It is. It's like that mystery and that like, oh, well, maybe like people don't know this about me. They think I'm like shy, this good girl. And then you're like, nope, here's the other side of me. Like I'm a sexual, like living as a sexual being, you know? Yeah. I think you just, like you're saying, you just got to embrace it. Like if you're going to decide to like, to live this life like freely and carelessly, then fully send it. Like be free, be careless. Like, you know, if you're feeling weird about being judged, then don't tell people. I mean, I'm sure everybody has like one or two people in their life that they could be like, oh my God, let me tell you about this guy. I mean, we love that. I feel like as women, like we love to like talk and gossip about guys and like the adventures that we get ourselves in, as long as you're like being safe and like giving your friends, sharing your location, you know, like little things like that.
Yes. Actually, that's a really good tip that you brought up is sharing your location. I have some girlfriends who always have my location. My mom always has my location. Usually my partner does too, just because it doesn't really matter to me. But anyway, like sharing your location is so important for safety. If you're meeting up with strangers who you don't know, or if there's some way to like vet them, highly encourage that.
No, I can go off. I feel like you brought up a good point just in the whole safety factor in general. I think like if you're going to be going out and meeting like tons of people that you don't know, why not like do a FaceTime talk? You know what I mean? It's like whether you're like trying to be serious about a relationship or a hookup before you meet someone, like see if the energy is even there. Like have, you know, get on FaceTime. I would set a limit of like, you know, maybe 20 minutes and start off the call and be like, hey, like, you know, I have to leave. I have something going on at like this time, but like, I just wanted to call and chat with you or whatever. So then that way you can kind of, like you were saying, vet the person a little bit, see if like, you know, they look like their photos online. Like you get to hear their voice. It brings more of like, you know, real, like a realness to the whole experience. And then also with sharing the location, I mean, always meet in public first. Like I would never just directly go straight to meet a stranger, you know, without still like catching the vibe. For me personally, I never share my address. I had like a stalker ex-boyfriend a while ago. And so that like inflicted a lot of PTSD and trauma. So like, I never share my address. It's funny, my current boyfriend, he didn't even know where I lived for like the first 6 months of us talking. And he would make fun of me, but I'm like, it was a thing. I was still paranoid about that. So yeah, I think like FaceTime date, you know, going to meet in public. I think first date scenarios too should also have a time limit, like set an hour, you know, and then like you can start it with like, you know, I only have an hour because I have to meet up with one of my girlfriends. And then if you like the guy, you can cancel on your girlfriend. You know what I mean? But if you don't, then you have an out. So I think those are some tips that I wish I would have known when I was doing this like serial dating, if you will.
Yeah. For me, this is going to be like total opposite. Like I don't use apps. I've never used apps, but I typically would meet men out in public and just take them home, like meet them in public. And then when by taking them home, I mean like take them to their place because like I said, nobody comes to where I live.
Yeah.
And usually all of this happened while traveling. Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. You told me that. So you've been traveling for a little while. So I could imagine that, you know, getting out into like an actual environment. I mean, that's the best way to meet people personally.
It is.
Like, yeah.
I'm just thinking like, you know, if my partner listens, which he doesn't listen to the podcast, but if he does listen, he's going to be like all worried about every time I go out in public when I'm traveling. But like I said, I'm retired hoe. I got one man, happily.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like now you just get to like turn around and do the splits on that dick. And there's something great about consistent dick. You know what I mean?
There is something phenomenal about consistent dick. It is so nice.
Yeah.
The last like thing that I really want to touch on about the hoe phase is how can that be empowering as a woman?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. I think it's like the same, like, it's like the same of, it's like having your own control. You know what I mean? It's like you're choosing to do these things because it's like your choice. And then in that sense, that kind of puts you in this like stand of power where it's like, I get to decide who I want to have sex with or who I want to take home or how many people I want to fuck. Like, and I think in a sense, like it does give you some empowerment to be like, you know, I'm making these decisions and I feel great about them, you know?
I love that like being a hoe, embracing your hoe phase, having a hoe phase allows you to take the power back.
Yeah.
And put the power in your own hands and really like just have the experiences that you want to have. Because you've done the work, you sat down, you thought about what you're trying to gain from this experience. And so the hoe phase just allows you to like just take the power back. I love that.
Yeah. I think especially too, like I always think of like the best like hoe phase being after like a toxic relationship. I know like, you know, it's like, and I think a lot of the times in these, because those, I guess I should have clarified in the beginning of this, like I've only ever had toxic relationships until my current partner. So I don't consider them real relationships because majority of the time they didn't even really last that long, even though they felt like forever. But anyways, I think getting out of something so toxic and like, you know, deciding to do things for yourself, like that's kind of where that empowerment comes from when we're talking about this, you know, the hoe phase. Also, it's like feel, it's like makes you feel better. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess in a sense, it can make you feel better. It makes you feel wanted. Like usually when coming out of something that's so tragic, you know, you're dealing with a lot of like insecurities, self-worth, you know, it's like all of those things. And I think if you go about this in, you know, a decent way where you create boundaries for yourself and you decide like, I'm ready to just fucking send it. I don't want to be in a relationship. Like that's where the empowerment comes from. And like I said, it makes you feel wanted. It makes you like, just it gives you such a different perspective from like the past trauma or toxic relationship that you were in. And so I do think like that's probably the most ideal time, you know, to do it. If I don't know if that even sounded healthy, like as I was talking, I'm like, this sounds like unhealthy advice.
Well, I feel like a lot of it is unhealthy in that we need to do the work, right? And really like heal ourselves. I 100% relate in that I was in multiple toxic relationships, and that's exactly what happened is that, you know, when you leave a toxic relationship, you have a lot of times low self-esteem, you don't feel good about yourself, you don't feel deserving or wanted. And by being in a hoe phase, you're allowed to like experience all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it reminds you that you are capable or able and deserving of having those things even outside of a relationship. And I think that that can be so, so helpful. And I have a habit, a pattern, should I say, like when a situationship ends, I typically go and like run through a handful of men and I just destroy the shit out of them on my way too. It's pretty bad, actually. Very unhealthy. But I've noticed this pattern and I've now accepted that like, hey, let's stop this pattern before it happens because it doesn't serve me when I'm looking for a relationship. Like that does not serve me to continue those behaviors, but
right.
I've done it. And I think the hoe phase really can fulfill all of those sides.
Yeah. So obviously like what you were saying, it's like with caution, regardless, like having a hoe phase isn't going to like change the problems that you left like that toxic relationship with, like only you can't like, like you were saying, like you can't just like fuck the pain away, or, you know, like it's like the same thing with alcohol where it's like you can't just drink it away. Like you still have to work on those things, but it does give you a sense of like freedom. And I think that's like what's so great about it, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for sitting down to talk about life and being a retired hoe and all of that fun stuff. If the listeners take one thing away from today's episode, what would you want it to be?
Oh, such a good question. I think just, you know, it's like you gotta really just do what makes yourself happy. Like if you want to have experiences, you shouldn't be limited based on other people's beliefs. I think, you know, take a stand for what you want and be like open-minded and accepting of yourself to be able to give yourself the things that you need.
I love that. Where can the listeners find you at?
Okay, got a couple of things. I do have a podcast also. It's called Girl Stop Talking, anywhere you listen to podcasts. I've been on like a little hold, but we're going to come back in the new year. So I release episodes with that on Mondays. And on Instagram, I'm Tatum Zoe, Zoeee, 3 E's. And that's really it.
And YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I talked about that already. The YouTube is Girl Stop Talking also. Yeah. So just Instagram, YouTube, and, you know, podcast stuff.
Perfect. And we'll tag all of that in the show notes as well. So Yay. Thank you so much for chatting.
Oh my God, thanks for having me on and, you know, like giving me the platform to give a little healthy, unhealthy advice. I don't know. I hope your listeners like it.
Yes, I love it. This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner? If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Dinell, go to coaching.jordandinell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.